Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawk. I am your host, Rob Fox. We're going live today. It's a big fucking weekend. College football is dead to me this weekend. It is baseball time. The playoffs start tonight, as far as I'm concerned. The Braves and Mets in a three-game series at Truist Park for the NL East, joined as always by Dan Holloway. You look excited.
Oh, yeah. Big fucking time.
Hyped up and ready to go.
The Phillies are actually winning today.
They are. We were going to talk about the Phillies in a little bit.
They got a doubleheader today.
Yeah, they had a makeup game with the Nats, I believe.
Yeah, it's not hard to do that.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that the Braves dropped that game the other day.
Kind of humongous. We can start there, speaking of fuck the Nationals, because that was a brutal game to lose. We couldn't afford to lose that game. And in fact, it was looking like it was going to go the other way for a lot of the night. The Mets had a huge comeback win against the Marlins.
I think they were down four.
Yeah, and then the Braves kind of were never leading against the Nationals that game. Mm. And I had a little bit of a bad feeling about that game because I was talking to you about it that day. I forgot who was starting for the Nats. I remembered, of course, once I started watching. Josiah Gray has been kind of tough on us last year and this year. Josiah Gray was part of the Trey Turner, Max Scherzer trade with the Dodgers last year. He was a pretty good prospect, I think, in the Dodgers system.
He's pretty legit.
He's filthy.
He's got really good movement.
Yeah.
So.
And he's been tough on the Braves in particular. I've been picking him up. For spot starts a lot in fantasy throughout the year. ERA and WHIP aren't there, but it's really just a fantasy situation, it's kind of just roll the dice.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to be like a good day with seven strikeouts, or is he going to get smacked around for four innings and then leave? Pitched really well against Atlanta. Our bats were dead even after he left. For what it's worth, Finnegan's a good pitcher too.
Mm-hmm.
I like Finnegan a lot. If you remember him from those Royals, or at least the first Royals team that made the World Series, he came out. He had pitched for TCU in the College World Series that year, I think in 2014, or certainly pitched for them just that year. And then, came out as a rookie and pitched, I think, like two huge innings against the A's in that wild card game. Finnegan's great. I like Finnegan. Regardless, that game sucked to lose. The bats were really uninspiring. And the Mets came back. So now, instead of being tied to go into the series, we are a game down with six games to go. Three against the Mets. What do the Braves need to do to win this series with the Mets? By my just math, I guess you could call it that, I think we need to win five out of our last six games to win the division.
You know what? Maybe. I mean, if you want to take the guesswork out of it, then that's probably a safe thing to say. Like, you don't want to...
leaving nothing to chance.
Well, you want to have destiny in your own hands. You don't want to be scoreboard watching necessarily.
Right.
So sweeping this series would be a good start. I mean, there's still part of me that thinks the Mets will blow it because they're the Mets and they've blown a fucking 10.5 game lead already.
Right.
And we'll see, right? I mean, this is a big series. To win this series, it's a good question. So tonight it's DeGrom and Max Fried.
Mm-hmm. As good of a matchup as you'll see at any point.
I think, let's see, the last time DeGrom pitched against the Braves. He gave up two earned runs, I think. We won that game.
We do have a weird habit of being very competitive in games DeGrom pitches.
That wasn't even the last one. So he pitched two games on August 7th and then again on the 18th, and we scored two and three against him, respectively. One, they won the first game. 5-2, but we scored two off of him, and then the second game we beat them 3-2, scored three off him.
Scoring three runs off Jacob DeGrom is like scoring seven runs off a normal pitcher.
Yeah, pretty much. I think the bats haven't looked great lately. They've been moving. If it tells you anything about how concerned Snitker is with winning the division, he's been fucking around with the lineup a lot, trying to
get something going
and fucking around for the playoffs, maybe.
Yeah.
Michael Harris has been batting way higher in the order because he's been hot. But the Braves strike out a lot. Under good circumstances, they strike out a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're third in baseball, maybe second in strikeouts as a hitting unit. So, you know, anytime you go up against a guy like DeGrom, that's a problem. So it's about approach against him. Like, this whole series is going to be about their approach in the first two games. Nobody else on the Mets pitching staff has been pitching well lately, starter-wise. Carrasco has not been good.
Well, we see, I believe, who do we see? Is it DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett?
I believe so. Let me check. Yeah, that's right.
Which is their three best pitchers, I would say.
Yeah, Bassett's gotten dinged up a couple of times recently by shitty teams, though. He's not really a concern for me at this point. But DeGrom, it's about approach, right? So how do you hit a guy like that? You fucking aren't going to be super reactive to 98 with movement. You can't do that. You got to sit on pitches, and you got to lay off pitches at the top of the zone and sliders low and away, particularly against DeGrom. And then against Scherzer, you have to think along with him. I don't honestly think it's that difficult to think along with that guy. He doesn't pitch backwards much. He just is so precise at things that it's, you know, difficult to hit the way normal people hit. But if you wait on the outside of the plate for his sinker that runs back into the lower...
Scherzer?
Yes.
Okay.
If you wait for his sinker that runs back across or around the knees to a right-handed batter, yeah, that's a tough pitch to hit if you're looking for something else. But if you're looking for that pitch, William Contreras and Ronald Acuna will hit that ball 450 feet to right center or whatever, right? So, you know, these guys are not – we've beat both of them this year already. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we beat them in back-to-back games a month and a half ago. So the team shouldn't be too concerned about that, but you do have to lock in here. And the good news is some of the Braves' better players, Michael Harris and Dansby Swanson especially – the more, and actually Travis d'Arnaud is another one, the more pressure that's on, the better they tend to do.
Yeah, they are...
And you could even add Rosario to that, to be honest. He's been performing clutch as the year has gone on.
Yes.
Certainly did last year, so...
I think we talked about that last week. I am very happy to see Rosario back on, because that man is a fucking assassin.
Yeah.
Like, he is... we saw it last year. He carried an entire series. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was... Right, like I think we said before, you know, Soler won the World Series MVP. Jock was there is no MVP for the DS, but Jock was the MVP of that DS against the Brewers.
Yeah.
And then Rosario won NLCS MVP. But man, if you had to pick, like, he had so much more of an impact on that series than anyone else had on any other series. I mean, yeah. That was he did as close to taking over a series as I've seen since maybe. You know, I haven't watched every series closely, but from the series I've watched closely, since like Madison Bumgarner,
even made a great play in left field, which is not one of the ways you expect him to contribute,
right?
Typically, I mean, not that he's a bad outfielder; he's just not that good to make that play. But yeah, he's hitting .310 over the last month. As things have started to heat up, he's gotten better. So I know part of that is getting healthy again. Like, keep in mind, this is a dude that just a couple of years ago, before he started getting shuffled around, was a 25 to 30 home run guy driving in 100 runs. So
oh, yeah.
It's not like this should be that much of a fucking surprise now that he's got his vision fixed. But, yeah, those are – I'm feeling pretty good about this series. As far as how to beat DeGrom, right, I think you've got to – with him, you've got to sit on location. And he's got – multiple pitches that tunnel. So, you know, sit on location and go the other way, I think is how you beat this guy.
And
that's what, you know, Nolan Ryan in his autobiography used to talk about this shit. He's like, I loved pitching to dudes that could hit home runs.
Right.
right. because I could get under their hands or I could throw a fastball right just out of the zone high and they're never going to touch it, but they want to hit it because it looks so juicy. But little Punch and Judy hitters were like fucking, they would ding me up all the time. That's how he gave up most of his runs, was a walk and a fucking double,
right.
you know, by a fast guy. So
not that he faced this guy a lot, but like a Tony Gwynn type of guy.
Yeah. Yep. So he's, you know, if you want to beat a guy like this, that's kind of how you got to do it. And you
because,
know, if
and you,
you
can't really work counts against him.
No.
Because he's just going to pump strikes. I mean, he doesn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, so his last game at Oakland, he had four walks, which is very atypical for him. I think that's the only game this season he's had more than one, which is, that's what you expect. He throws strikes.
I mean, honestly, when you have stuff like that, I'm mystified that you would ever put anything outside of the zone.
Yep.
Honestly. Like, prove you can even touch this shit before I start trying to make you chase.
Mm. But he's a fly ball pitcher, so he's up in the zone, and he's throwing low and away sliders to get you to fucking flail and pop up. So what do you do with something like that? You guide that ball the other way. And if you're a Ronald Acuna or a William Contreras, who I hope, honestly, I don't know how he matches up against DeGrom specifically, but just based on the way he hits, it seems like it might be a good idea to have him in the lineup for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just do that. You fucking use your power the other way. And the Braves have quite a few guys that have power the other way. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, half that team can hit the – I mean, mm-hmm. even Swanson hits quite a few home runs out mm-hmm. to right over that.
Yeah.
I guess the porch isn't like that short per se, but over that ledge or whatever.
You just got to try not to do too much. The lineup that they have listed for today on ESPN is Acuna, Swanson, Harris, Riley, Olson, Darno, Contreras, Rosario, and Arcia. I don't know what happened to Vaughn Grissom.
Yeah.
I don't know if they...
He's still there.
Yeah, I don't know if the team saw something that they didn't like with his swing or something, or there's something going on behind the scenes, but he is not... he's not played in several days now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on with him, but Arcia has been hitting home runs, so who cares, right?
Right.
Yeah, Acuna does decent against him, strikes out about a third of the time, but he hits 270 or so. And then Austin Riley hits him pretty well, 2 home runs, 5 RBI, and 17 at-bats. Harris and Contreras have faced him 6 times total between them, and they've struck out every time. So we'll see how that goes.
Who is the outfield for tonight again?
Acuna in right, Harris in center, and Rosario in left. And I think maybe Snitker is thinking the same thing I am, which is get Contreras with his oppo power in the lineup against this dude.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't think Acuna would be playing in the outfield.
Yeah. It's such a weird thing because Acuna is so physically gifted.
Mm.
But when you have Acuna and Rosario in the corners, I get really worried about the outfield defense. Mm-hmm. The other day, I was listening on the radio, but the announcer was saying Harris made some bananas catch off the wall that, like, if he didn't get, it would have been a triple because neither Rosario or Acuna backed it up at all.
Yeah.
And it was an atypical catch. Like, it was like a great catch that they should not have expected him to make, essentially. And those guy and Rosario had an error that led to a run in the game we lost. Right?
He tried to short hop a ball that was heading towards the gap. You can make an argument that if he took the correct route, which was to cut back a little bit, a guy that fast was going to make it to second base anyways.
Okay.
But you have to do the correct thing because it's the correct thing, and then the outcome is what it is. That he got an error for it, and that he should have because he took the wrong route and tried to make a great play when a good play would have sufficed.
Right. Yeah. And so that worries me a little bit, not just in this series, but in the playoffs. But I mean, you know, whatever. Like Rosario, I want Rosario's bat in the lineup. So I suppose that is what it is. Is tonight a must win?
A must win if they want to win the division. Yeah.
Yeah. Like assuming that that's.
I to be honest, I think if they don't win tonight, then they go into fucking setup for the playoffs mode.
You know what's weird is they kind of already are. Because Fried's going today, so he's not going to pitch again for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And same with Wright, and same with Morton, and Strider's already out until the playoffs.
Right.
So, you know, that is one nice thing about this. Either way, they've essentially already set their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
which is good to see. Like, the last thing you want to see is, you know, Freed pitches yes, like against the Nats on whatever day that was.
Right.
And then what? He just doesn't get to pitch for like a week and a half.
Yeah, that would not be good. I mean, I think, let's see, I'm looking on the board here. Technically, as it stands right now, Freed would pitch the last game of the season.
But he won't.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And also, that last game would be Alcantara, too.
Yeah.
So if we get, like,
will he if the division's on the line? Do you put him out there?
No. I don't think winning the division is that important.
Man, I just feel like such a peasant taking a wild card spot. I really hope we don't fly a flag for it if we get a wild card this year.
I mean, how do you fly a wild card flag the year after winning this fucking chip?
I know, right? We do have a couple wild card flags up, though, and it's kind of sad. Mm. Like, it's, I guess it's at least one thing when there's only four, even though I still didn't really like it then. But, like, dude, like, there's three fucking wild cards per league now. Like, it's not that much of an accomplishment.
Yeah, but every other sport has been doing this for fucking ever.
I know. I just fucking hate it.
Calm down.
It's like flying a national championship flag for, I don't know, UCF? Never winning a national championship.
It's unnecessary to
seems weird.
Go after him while he's just sitting there fucking producing the show.
Before the show started, we'll talk about the Phillies in a bit, but before the show started, Dan was like, wait, are the Phillies not doing as well as they were? And I was like, you know, they're playing right now. And he was like, I only pay attention in October.
Well, you'll start paying attention tomorrow then, I guess.
Yeah. So for me, for this series, they have to win tonight, I think. I think tonight is a must win, and then only one of the next two. I at the very least, you have to take two of three. I don't think they necessarily pack it in if they lose tonight.
No.
But, man, you want to obviously be tied as soon as possible.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think they're going to – they wouldn't pack it in because Wright's going to pitch tomorrow no matter what because they're not going to let him sit for fucking eight days or 10 days or whatever between starts. So they wouldn't be packing it in either way, but – they may start making some roster adjustments or limiting innings or something like that. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think winning tonight is important for if they want to win the division, especially since you're running into Alcantara for the last game of the season. Like, if you don't have it wrapped up by then, that's basically a playoff game. Although, you know, there's a reason that fucking wild card teams in Major League Baseball win so many World Series. And it's because time off during a baseball season doesn't help you.
It is not great.
No. I mean, it can help pitchers, but not. It'll never help hitters. It always fucks up hitting.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess sometimes it's just a matter of some hitters keep themselves better prepared, or maybe it's just pure luck, to be quite honest. But,
yeah, it could be.
It is what it is. This is an exciting series. I'm excited to watch it. I kind of love it when the playoffs start, you know, like a week early, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like last year we had the series against the Phillies to kind of decide the division. Yeah. What was that like? Was that also the second to last series of the year?
I believe it was, yeah. I think it was either second to last. Oh, look, I'm just no reason to speculate. It was either second to last or the
third to last,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was second to last. We had Phillies and then the Mets.
Okay, yeah. No, that was a blast. So, Mets got to beat him tonight. Got to beat DeGrom, which honestly, in some ways, we tend to look better against DeGrom than we do against Scherzer. Scherzer has... At least this year, man, he has mowed us down a couple times.
Yeah, and he's coming back off some rest as well, so that isn't the best thing for the Braves, I don't think.
No,
but you know, he's looked pretty sharp since he's come back.
He's looked good.
Let's see, he's pitched two games. I mean, against Milwaukee and Oakland, which are two of the worst offenses in baseball, but. He only gave up four hits and a run combined and 16 strikeouts in those 12 innings. So
yeah, it's not bad. Well, at least he's not pitching many innings.
Yeah,
which could bode well for the Braves because obviously Diaz is the best closer in baseball right now. But the rest of the Mets bullpen, not necessarily afraid of.
No, if they need to stretch out their pen or they need to stretch out their starters to fucking. At least six to have a good chance to win a game.
100%. So for the Braves, and it's so hard to do against DeGrom and Scherzer, but you got to like work a count as much as you can. Foul balls off, even if you know end up striking out on a 1-2 count. Like, just try to foul something off, anything, just that extra pitch. You know, get someone on base just to put pressure on them, right? Just to make the pitches a little more. like put a little more exertion on those pitches, a little more stress in the mind, like yeah. anything to put fucking pressure.
I mean, if I'm the Braves, if I'm Seitzer and Snitker and those guys, I'm trying to get them to take the same approach that the Mets do. I mean, you have Alonso who's only trying to hit home runs, but the rest of the team, they're just trying to hit the ball, you know?
Yep. And work the count.
Yeah, and work counts.
Which so, they do very well.
I think it's a good idea when you're faced against, when you're matching up against a team like that, if there's something about having such a, I wouldn't say you're a radical strategy, but having such an ingrained strategy in your team that it doesn't just affect one side or the other of the ball, you know what I mean? Like a team that's trying to run the ball and control the clock in football often has very good defense, and there's a reason because they complement one another.
Yes.
So I think, you know, if you just use their strengths against them, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, or mirror their strengths, that's a good way to win.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting series. I am extremely excited to watch it. But maybe we lose the division. We are not the favorites to win the division now, certainly being a game down with six left and going against what is probably the best pitching we'll see all October until we maybe face the Mets again.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one else that compares to this top two.
Mm-hmm.
Not even fucking close. Not even the Braves. Not even if you throw out Fried and Strider game one, game two. I mean, it's insane. So this is a good test for the play. Honestly, where we feel like we're on easy mode the last couple, like once we get in.
Yeah, I mean, the last two times we faced these guys about a month ago, won both games. So
yeah. So we'll see. Going to be a huge, going to tell a lot about both teams, I honestly think. However, maybe we don't win the division, which would suck because I like winning division titles. But kind of interesting. Does the bracket shake out better for the Braves if we don't win the division? So right now, it seems more likely than not we're going to catch the Padres.
Mm-hmm.
I
am fine with that.
Do not fear the Padres at all. Now, it's a three-game series. We could easily lose that series.
Sure, yeah, but it's like Musgrove and Darvish and Snell. Snell's well beyond his good years. I assume that's who they're going to throw because Clevinger has looked terrible this year.
Snell's had a bit of a renaissance in the second half of this season. He's pitched a lot better.
Yeah, he has pitched better than he was before. But I, you know, just based on his season so far and how the Braves had lefties, I'm not terribly concerned about that guy.
I'm not concerned about the Padres in particular. Yes, they have Juan Soto now, who you haven't heard much from for a fucking reason.
Yeah, because he's in San Diego.
Bullpen not that great. Lineup outside of Soto, what's there?
Machado's he's very good.
Yes. Anyone else? I mean, really, like, Hosmer, Cronenworth?
Nope. Cronenworth can give you some tough at-bats sometimes, yeah. But the rest of that offense is not good. Actually, Josh Bell can be tough.
Oh, I forgot they got Bell, too. Bell can be tough, but he's never a hitter I'm afraid of unless the situation's really dire, or maybe it's, like, 1-1 or 1-0. You know, like, I'm always afraid of a solo homer from him, but, like, I don't know. He doesn't scare me. It's not like, oh, fuck, Josh Bell's up next.
Yeah.
I think for Josh Bell to beat you, you have to make a mistake.
Yeah, he's sliders low and end give him a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And the Braves have that in spades.
It's the type of thing with Bell where, like, I never get the idea from his at-bats where he doesn't work you into making a mistake. He doesn't put pressure on you. He's just waiting for a mistake, and if the mistake doesn't come.
Yeah, he's not going to get a hit.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know about, I don't know what's going on with Soto this year, to be honest.
Just a down year. I mean, honestly, I feel almost, you know, what's going on with Acuna, right? I mean, obviously he was hurt and stuff like that, but Soto in particular, I feel almost bad for in terms of, like, everyone's like, what's wrong with Juan Soto? Why isn't he on having the same third year that Albert Pujols had?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because people were, including myself, and I think he is a very Pujols-esque type hitter. Like, this guy's the next Pujols, blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, Pujols just hit his 700th home run. Like, no one is fucking out for Pujols.
No, certainly not. But Soto's got to grow up a little bit.
Like, what do you think is?
I think it's the same thing that happened with Ichiro. You fall into this identity of being somebody who has a high batting average in Ichiro's case, or a high on base percentage in Juan Soto's case. And yeah, it's cool that you walked 134 times this year, but you're a fucking power hitter and you have 61 RBI. That's unacceptable.
Right.
Even on a bad team. Like the shittiest of teams, you're going to have 85 RBI for a guy like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you, at some point you have to sacrifice some of those walks and hit the fucking ball.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's interesting. I mean, his slugging percentage is only .453.
Yeah, it's not good.
Under anything, he should never be slugging under .500.
No.
Ever. Hilariously, the lowest, tied for the lowest WRC plus of his career, a meager .146.
Yeah. They like walks for sure. And he doesn't strike out that much either.
No.
Like, but I would rather have a Juan Soto with 130 strikeouts, 100 walks instead of 150, which is probably what he's going to end up with, and 35 to 40 home runs and 110 plus RBI instead of what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I mean, 26 home runs is fine. You definitely want Soto. If Soto's on your team, you want 30 minimum, right? RBI, that's situational enough where 61 is still super low, but I don't know. If he was at 75, I'd be like, all right, well, he played for the Nats. That's whatever. But like 243, 405, 453.
Well, he played for the 2021 Nats, and they fucking sucked, right? Yeah, and he had 95 RBI.
100, yeah, for sure. So this slash line, 243, 405, 453. That's what you want to see out of like 38-year-old Juan Soto, right? Like that's what you expect to get out of old man Soto. Young Soto, what is he, fucking 23? Like he should be a rookie, and he's played for 5 years. Yeah, I mean, he needs to be hitting 35 homers and hitting .280 at least. It's not ideal. Not what you want out of Soto. But yeah, the Padres don't scare me. They scare me way less than the Phillies or Brewers. I'm not necessarily super scared of any of those teams, but the Phillies, that lineup can fuck you on the wrong day, and they do have a good top of the rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brewers, obviously, Woodruff and Burns, I don't want to fuck with that.
I'm not.
I know their offense is terrible.
Their offense is bad, and their bullpen is not great anymore.
They still have Devin Williams, who I like. Their bullpen's okay. It's okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not amazing, but the Woodruff and Burns, that's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And then so is Nola and Wheeler. The Padres to me, there's just nothing there with them.
Nothing that I'm worried about. I mean. It says something that they didn't completely collapse this year like they did last year.
Right.
I mean, that's an improvement.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not a good even like team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about them gassing each other up in the eighth inning when they're down two runs. They might still come back.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about that team uniting around a common cause.
No, I don't. Machado is not really a leader.
No.
He's the best player on that team right now.
No. Tatis obviously not even close to being there. Soto is a new guy. And 23 years old. I don't think anyone gives a shit what Eric Hosmer says anymore.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, who's there to lead anything? I would love a matchup. If the Braves don't win the division, personally, I would love a matchup with the Padres. I think that's a... And the other thing with that, too, is so going beyond that, the other thing I don't want, and this might be my own personal thing, I always kind of get fucked with this, but... I don't want any piece of the Cardinals. It feels like a devil magic year.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I'm not terribly concerned with them either, although they do have three of the top, well, the top two wins above replacement position players in the National League, and I think the fourth as well, Tommy Edman, I think is fourth or something like that.
Yeah, and Pujols is third on that team in home runs. Pujols is actually having a good year. I think his WRC plus is over 130 or something like that. I mean, and honestly, like, this is Pujols' last season. It's Molina's last season. It might be Wainwright's last season. It's certainly their last season together, obviously. Goldschmidt is the MVP. And honestly, Wainwright and Mikolas are good enough to give you trouble with all of those things combined. Their closer, what's his name?
Helsley.
The guy who was all pissed off about the chop. In 2019 or whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck all of that. I don't want to deal with any of that. I'm happy being on the opposite side of the bracket from them. And one of the other reasons is because losing the division and putting us in the wild card puts us on the same side as the Dodgers. I know the Dodgers are going to win over 110 games probably. Mm. We've talked about this all year. They could kick the shit out of us, but I just don't feel that afraid of them.
No, I think their team last year was better.
Yeah, I do too.
Quite a bit better. I just think that the National League West is worse. The Giants are considerably worse. The Rockies even were worse this year than they were. Not I don't think their record was worse, but they had nothing the whole year. And most of, you know, this is how it goes because of divisional play, but most of the fucking Dodgers' success came against the National League West. Mm-hmm. They lit the National League West on fire. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. They have a good team, obviously.
No question about that.
They have experience in the playoffs, which also counts for a lot.
Well, so do we at this point.
Yeah, we, I mean, nobody, I think, has more experience as a unit than us and the Dodgers and the Astros. Over the last, 5 years?
I mean, probably, that would make sense, yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, I don't really worry about the Cardinals either, to be honest. I mean, I know they have Goldschmidt and Arenado are tough outs.
We did win the season series with the Cardinals. Yeah. Not that that matters. We won the season series with them in 2019 when we lost the division series to them, a division series we should have won, to be quite frank. Yeah. But
having Edmund, Goldschmidt, Arenado all in a row to pitch to, that's tough. But they don't have the same kind of...
Oh, and my guess is Pujols probably plays every day.
You would think so, probably. I don't know. We'll see.
Who else would you DA? I mean, Juan Pez, essentially, would be the
other one? Maybe, yeah. Maybe. It depends. I don't know if they're going off splits, although his second half splits are basically even between right and left-handers. So
Pujols?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's hitting righties, too.
You don't want to get sentimental. It's about who's hot at the time. He's been pretty good lately, so maybe they start him every game. I don't think their pitching is very good.
Yeah, and it's no guarantee we would see the Cardinals because they would be playing either the Phillies or Brewers.
Yeah.
I still lean Phillies, but...
The Phillies have the highest ceiling out of any of the wild card teams 100%. Other than us, for sure. Actually, they have a higher ceiling, I think, than... the Cardinals, who are going to win their division, but they also have the lowest floor.
Yeah.
Maybe Milwaukee has the lowest floor.
Yeah.
Because their offense stinks, but Philly can look like the Bad News Bear sometimes, which is not great, you know, but if you get on a run, you know how it is. You get on a run in the playoffs, fucking shit.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I mean, everyone was out on the Braves last year. No one gave a shit. We won 88 games. Something like that, which is what Cleveland is at now. So they're going to end up with probably over 90 wins, mm-hmm. I would think, although they clinched the division already, so they may.
Well, they're playing, I would assume, divisional games at this point, and it's all Central, and the Central fucking sucks.
Right. I'm kind of good either way on winning the division or not winning the division in terms of how the bracket shakes mm-hmm. out, but there is an interesting argument to be made that Padres, Dodgers, and then whomever in the NLCS is an easier path than, you know, I guess getting a bye, winning a de facto first round win helps. But then I think the Cardinals and call it the Phillies, Cardinals and Phillies are more dangerous. They're very dangerous divisional round matchups.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know.
If you balance on a sliding scale the their talent and their, you know, desire to win, obviously that makes them more dangerous than a team like the Dodgers or the Braves, who have won recently, I think. Mm-hmm. Although the Braves have the good fortune of having multiple new players, Olsen, and then several rookies that haven't won there before.
Oh, Harrison Strider, yeah. For sure.
So, I mean, that helps, I believe.
It does, and... I guess the other thing of winning the division, the thing that you really want, is the Braves are just so good at Truist, mm-hmm. which has become a massive home field advantage, I think, about as good as you can have in baseball, that you want to play as many games at Truist as possible.
Yeah. I mean, they're, let's see, 40.
I think their record's pretty even home and road, but in the playoffs last year, I think we were massively over 500 at home.
Mm.
Well, we were massively over 500 anyway. We never faced an elimination game last year.
They're like a 677 at home this year and about a 578, I think, on the road. So they're quite a bit better at home.
I believe we didn't lose any games at home until the World. We only lost one home game last year in the playoffs. Game 5 of the World Series. Because we won both games at home, right, against Milwaukee, because that went four games. The Dodgers won two games against us, both in L.A.?
I believe so. I don't think we lost any road games until game.
We went up 2-0, and then they won, I think, game 3. And then we won game 4, and they won game 5. And then we came back at home and won game 6.
Let's see. We lost at Milwaukee. We lost at LA and at LA.
And then won at Houston. And then Houston finally beat us in game 5 of the World Series.
Yeah, game 5. And then we won game 6 in Houston.
Yep.
Yep.
So we lost one game at home last year in the playoffs. So massive, massive home field advantage.
Yeah, sure. Certainly it's I mean, you want to be there anyway just to be able to get into your routine and shit. Being on the road and I don't know. There's something comforting about it, I guess.
Yeah.
I never really cared. I when I played in high school and shit, not that that matters, but I think I always did better on the road because I was more angry. But not everybody's motivated by that.
Yeah. Some people are soft. Before we get into the rest of the episode, we do have a sponsor. That is MyBookie.com. Head to MyBookie.com today and use the promo code DRINKINBROS to double your deposit up to $1,000. The way that works is you make your first deposit of whatever that amount is. You know, maybe you put in $200. You want to bet $200 on college football this week or the final week of baseball, whatever. If you use the promo code DRINKINBROS, they will match that $200. So if you put in $200, they'll give you $200. And they'll do that all the way up to $1,000. So whatever you put in, they'll double up to $1,000 with the promo code Drinking Bros. Obviously, got another weekend of college football, some pretty fun NFL games this week, Chiefs, Bucks, that type of thing. Arkansas, Alabama in college is going to be a great game. Don't hate Arkansas covering or even the money line on that. But yeah, there's a lot of fun games to bet this week. And again, you know, big baseball games as well. Lots of good props, all that stuff. MyBookie, you can bet freaking anything. So head to MyBookie.com, use the promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Next up, I will pay. I'll just give MyBookie money the way they're giving us money to keep Jake Odorizzi off the playoff roster.
Yeah, I'm not sure they have that authority, unfortunately. But
well, no, I'll just like the way MyBookie gives me money, I'll give money to Alex Anthopoulos or Brian Snicker or whomever. We'll just keep Jake Odorizzi off the... I'm out on Odorizzi.
Yeah, I don't know... I don't know why they would keep him on, to be honest. Aside from just having success in the playoffs before, I guess there's something to be said for that. But he's... I don't know. It's not good.
I think we're better off with Bryce Elder coming out of the bullpen at this point.
Yeah. The last month since he's been with the Braves, he's got... let's see... batting average, get the fuck out of
who,
here.
Who, Elder?
Jake Odorizzi.
Oh, yeah.
He's got like a 7.88 ERA.
He has not been good. He was getting, like, he only let up 2 runs against the Nationals, but I mean, it was a struggle to keep it at 2 runs. And I know Rosario had that error, but that error was still obviously on a fucking hit that could have ended up being a double anyway. Like you said, I mean, Odorizzi counts were getting worked. He wasn't hitting his spots. He wasn't throwing fucking strikes. A ton of the outs were fly balls. He's kind of more of a ground ball guy, right?
Yeah.
And I think the first 7 or 8 outs were fly balls. Nothing was working correctly. And honestly, that's the Nats. So imagine what a fucking playoff roster is going to do against, even if it's in relief, whatever, just against that inefficient of a pitcher.
Yeah, he's got 4 starts. In September, 7.88 ERA. So
fuck that.
14 earned runs in 16 innings. There's no point in putting him on the playoff roster, frankly.
I think Bryce Elder needs to take that spot, even coming out of the bullpen.
Well, the Braves have had in each of the last 2 seasons, at least, if not... No, Soroka missed 19, didn't he?
No, he played 19, missed 20. Freed was out of the bullpen in 19.
Ah, yeah. So the Braves have had extremely good success with bringing rookies in to pitch mop-up innings or even in some cases start in the playoffs because they, you know, I don't know if the kids are too dumb to understand they should be stressed out about it or whatever it is, but you also have to think about who's got the hot hand right now. And since he got recalled, Elder's been lighting it up.
He's been incredible.
He started 3 games. He's averaging almost 7 innings a game, so 20.2 innings in 3 games, 1 earned run.
Yeah. In his last 30 innings, 1.50 ERA, 0.93 whip, and his K percentage compared to the first half of the season when he was up before Strider took the last spot in the rotation has jumped from 13% to 25%.
Yeah. To be honest, they should have sent Ian Anderson down at the same time as Elder, and he would probably be coming back successful by now, but next year.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I think Elder's a much better choice for that. But there's a possibility they bring them both, I guess. They're both on the roster right now, but they got to send somebody away when Strider comes back.
Right.
I think. The postseason roster, are they still 28 now?
I don't know.
Like the regular season, I believe they started at 28 and they brought them down to 26, and then they expand for postseason maybe?
Yeah, I think that's right. 26 players is how big it'll be.
26.
Yeah. Okay. And 13 active pitchers. So you can only have 13 pitchers. But I mean, he's been way better. And like you said, like, look, 2019, Fried was that guy, right? In 2019, the people forget, it's really honestly hilarious because Max Fried led the team in wins that year.
Yeah.
But he didn't start any games in 2019, probably to the detriment of the Braves. But he was effective out of the bullpen as a long guy, essentially. Like, okay, this starter's thrown, you know, three or four good innings, but they're seeing him well, and he's thrown maybe 65 pitches. Let's get another game there. They're successful. Kyle Wright, I think he had one good game and one bad game in 2020. I think he pitched okay against the Marlins. He got rocked by the Dodgers. Also in 2020, Bryce Wilson pitched five brilliant innings against the Dodgers, right. No longer with the Braves. And then, of course, in 2021, Kyle Wright again pitching brilliantly in the World Series to help us win game five.
I don't remember which game it was. Yeah,
four. I think it was game four. Yeah. Game four. So why not? I mean, we have to continue what we've done since we've had success in the playoffs, which is essentially being aggressive and creative.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, Elder's doing all this stuff against Miami and Washington. So, you know, temper expectations, I guess. I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing to see him get another start before the end of the year. So if maybe it doesn't go well in games one and two against the Mets, maybe throw him in there for game three against the Mets.
Yeah.
To get him against an actual team and see what he looks like.
Yeah.
Maybe gauge it that way.
That would not be a bad idea, to be quite honest. And yeah, there are caveats to this. So his XFIP, his expected fielding independent pitching, is two runs higher than his ERA, which indicates quite a bit of luck.
Yeah, but you'd have to look at that since August and not include April, right?
I think that was in the second. I'll have to double check that though. And then he has not done well in limited appearances out of the bullpen this year.
No, I mean I don't think he would be a great bullpen guy. I think maybe use Morton for that if you're going to do it that way.
And make him a playoff starter?
Make Elder a playoff starter, yeah. Yep, nobody would see that shit coming.
No, and I mean, look, Bryce Elder has pitched in College World Series games and stuff before, or maybe regionals at the very least. So he's pitched in intense games. He's pitched big games. Why I like college pitchers, to be quite honest. Not that you need to do it. Fried was not a college pitcher, and he has looked fantastic in all his postseason appearances. But yeah, I just don't see how you keep Odorizzi on with how bad he's looked, and I don't care if there are question marks with Elder. I don't care that there are, I don't want to call them red flags, but like there are signs that maybe he's outperforming. Like you said, the quality of opponent, and then just the potential luck factor and stuff like that. Yeah. But I just don't fucking care because Odorizzi didn't look good against a bad opponent the other day.
No, I can't imagine how much worse Odorizzi could be at this point. Like, how much worse could it be than the performance that he's turning in?
Right.
You know, honestly, you would be better off bringing in somebody entirely new from the fucking minor leagues.
Just bring in Ian Anderson back up if you're going to do that. Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, like, see if he can figure it. I mean, he's thrived in the playoffs every year he's pitching them.
Yeah, and they picked up this dude, Silvino Bracco from, God, where did he come from? I think he was part of.
Looks like he was on the D-backs and the Red Sox.
Yeah, but I don't remember what. Hold on, let me see. I can't remember where he came from. We traded for him a couple of months ago, I think. And he hasn't really... I think he was up for one game at some point, but he didn't...
Okay.
Yeah, he pitched like one inning, but I don't remember. Hold on, let me see.
So they sent Kyle Muller to Gwinnett to get him.
Yeah.
Let's
see. Where'd this fucker come from?
They acquired him from the Red Sox in exchange for cash.
Okay, I see. Yeah, he's a very Raisel Iglesias type pitcher.
In what way?
He's got a tunneling fastball and a sharp breaking ball, a tunneling that cuts and sinks.
Yeah.
So he's been pretty tough in AAA anyways. And to be honest, most of his big league appearances, he's not been good. So I don't know what they're thinking here, but it looked like he was having a pretty decent performance in AAA, so that might be helpful in the bullpen as well. You know how it is in the postseason, though. You're just looking for arms. And I think, you know, you're looking at Colin McHugh as a mop-up dude, probably.
He's been putting in some high-leverage situations.
Yeah, although, sure, he can do it. I'm just saying, like, it's Iglesias, Minter, and Matzik are the three bulls that come out before the ninth.
Yes.
And then, you know, obviously we have to fucking ice skate with Jansen after that. But, we're in a pretty good spot, I think.
Bullpen-wise?
Yeah.
I would agree. And you still have Jesse Chavez out there.
Yeah.
And then Lee and Stevens. It's a deep bullpen.
It's deep.
I don't know what Yates. Yeah. Are we even going to keep Yates on the run? I mean, probably, but.
He's on the 15-day IL right now.
Okay.
But he's... He's still got time to come in and get a couple of innings in before the postseason starts. Although he's sucked this year, so
he's not been good. I really thought he was going to be a help to the team, and he is not. But you know, not every move works out. What the fuck ever. The bullpen is. I like the depth, even with Jansen a closer. The depth is fantastic. So that works. That's good. Getting away from the Braves for the end of the show. Talked about the playoffs a little bit. The Phillies up 3-1 on the Nats in the eighth. They are up currently, I believe, a half game on the Brewers. Soon to be a game if they hold on for the final wild card spot. They had a better lead. They've been kind of choking it away a little bit. Brewers have been coming on strong as well. Here's the first question. Good or bad for the Phillies that they end the season with three games in Houston?
I mean, bad that they're on the road, but probably good that Houston's not going to be putting in a lot of effort.
You would think that they definitely won't see Verlander, even if he has a start, even if he has a turn in the rotation.
If they see him, it'll be for like three or four innings, maybe.
Right, just to stay warm.
Yeah. Yep. So that's good. I mean, I wouldn't expect them to see any starter go deep. You got to think. Well, let's look. I don't know what.
So their rotation for the postseason, I imagine, would be. Verlander, Framber Valdez, and who's the other Houston starter?
That's Javier. Really Garcia is good.
There's one dude who's been crushing. Maybe it's Framber Valdez.
Might be Javier.
Oh, Christian Javier.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got good pitching there. So Valdez is set to go tonight, then Javier, Garcia, Verlander. That would be October 3rd. I honestly, he probably will see Verlander because Houston's going to have a first-round bye. They got the best record in the league.
Yeah.
He may end up seeing, what's that other fucker's name? The five-starter, and then I don't know if they'll see Valdez again for the last game of the year. I mean, maybe for a couple of innings to keep him warm, but they're not. If Valdez doesn't make his next start, 30th, when does the second round of the playoffs start? I mean, he's going to go 2 weeks without pitching.
Yeah, true. But,
you know, they just did that for Verlander to give him some time off. So,
well, also, I totally forgot about this, but McCullers is back.
Mm.
So Lance McCullers will be in there, too. So it'll be Verlander, McCullers, and McCullers, he's only pitched 41 innings this year, but
yeah.
2.38 ERA, 1.25 whip, looking good. I think he beat Tampa Bay the other day. So it'll be Verlander, McCullers, Christian Javier, and I would guess Framber Valdez will be the fourth.
Probably, yeah. You would think so. I mean, they've got they'll have Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, and I don't know who else going for him after that. I doubt it'll be, if they're trying to win still, it probably won't be the dude that's listed on there.
Yeah.
Falter or whatever the fuck his name is. It'll probably be Wheeler. But, yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't expect them to throw too many innings if they do see their heat.
No, not at all. Again, it would just be warm-up starts against a good lineup, too. You know, like one more situation.
Yeah, their offense isn't the problem.
No, no. So the Brewers coming on strong. So my question to you is two things. One, who would you rather watch in October, the Phillies or the Brewers?
The Phillies. The Brewers stink. I hate, like, I enjoy watching a good pitching matchup just like anybody else, but not one where the offense sucks this bad.
Right. Not one where the pitching matchup is good because one of the team's offenses is absolutely anemic.
Mm-hmm. This Brewers team, their offense is one of the worst I've ever seen on a playoff team since like the 1980s Cardinals teams that used to make
that
it.
That just didn't hit home runs. Yeah. That, I mean, is there so would you also rather play the Brewers in October if you had to choose?
Yes, with the pitching we have, yeah. Sure. This is not a hard lineup to deal with.
Unless you, again, like make a mistake to Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, I mean, but still, that was the only fucking moment in the game that really mattered, or in that series that really mattered.
He hit two home runs off us, that was about the only offense they had.
I think they scored 3 runs in the series, so.
It was not a lot. They were pretty fucking bad. So, yeah, I'm rooting for the Phillies. I'm a Phillies guy. Also, Dan has quite a bit of money. Or not quite a... You don't have a lot of money on the Phillies, but if they win the World Series, you make a lot of money. You make $4,000 on what, like a $50 bet? $100? All right.
I'm going to need a cut of that, obviously.
We did advise you.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're going to do a playoff preview next week, but the playoff lineup's pretty set. It's just a matter of who plays who at this point.
For the National League, yeah.
For the American League, too.
Well, yeah, I guess it is now because Cleveland finally clinched. White Sox and Twins are huge disappointments. You got to think Rocco Baldelli's going to get fired.
Yeah.
La Russa is probably going to get replaced as well. I mean, he's not. He's already away from the team.
Right. He's not coming back.
I think now it's, who's going to play whom because, well, technically, if Tampa Bay loses all the rest of their games and Baltimore wins all the rest of their games, but that'll get settled today. If they both win, they're not playing each other, are they? Who is Baltimore playing? No, they're playing the Yankees. I guess technically it could happen, but the magic number for the Rays to clinch the final wild card spot is 1.
Right, and that means all they have to do is win.
Or Baltimore lose.
Yeah.
Either way. So, yeah, we'll see. It'll be the AL will be interesting though. Like the Blue Jays are super young. I'm not sure they've got the pitching to compete. They do have Gausman, who's got playoff experience, but I don't think Berrios has actually been pretty good or was pretty good with Minnesota in the playoffs a couple years. But I don't know that Manoah has any playoff experience. I don't think he does. Well, let me look. No.
Blue Jays will be interesting.
Yeah.
People just really haven't been talking about them all year.
Mm-hmm.
They feel very much like an almost like the Braves team last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of talent. A above average, very competent, but not dominating rotation.
I would say they're 4 deep in their rotation. They're not 4 elite deep, but they're 4 deep.
Yeah. And you know,
good closer. Romano's been good this year.
Bullpen's fine.
Offense is pretty good now that they've moved on from Kevin Biggio.
RIP.
I mean, he's just not good enough. But, yeah.
This is funny because the AL playoff picture, and we'll get into a lot more next week, but the AL and the NL feel like flipped this year. The NL is a fucking gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And the AL is like, oh, there's some interesting teams, the Mariners, the Blue Jays, probably the Rays. I mean, the Rays are always the Rays.
Yeah.
And then you've got the two big teams. One of them feels like a paper tiger in the Yankees, and then mm-hmm. the other one, the Astros. They're the fucking Astros. They've been the best team in the American League for the last 5 years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Yankees close out the season. They keep winning games. They're on a streak right now. if Judge, let's say he hits number 62 tonight, is there a letdown for the rest of the year? Does that carry into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Although I think for him, even hitting 62, I think he's still playing for a contract. Like he's got a huge chip on his massive shoulder.
So at he's going to hit 62 probably plus home runs in the regular season. Their last four games are against Texas, at Texas, I believe.
Yeah. By the way, I think, in my opinion, he's the single season home run king because Maris did it in 161 games. Babe Ruth actually hit his 100 or his 60th in game 151, which is the same game that Judge hit his 61st.
Okay.
So I think if people want to talk about that asterisk bullshit, and it technically it was the 155th game of the season for the Yankees, so maybe you can penalize him for that. But it was his 151st, and I think that's he's the guy now for me.
I
whether he hit 62 or not,
I agree with that. I'm fine with that. But man, can you imagine how much Judge will get if he also goes insane in the playoffs?
Yeah, quite a bit.
I mean, 61 on its own is you know bananas. But if he then does some big dick shit in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he gets whatever number he wants.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He's also not far away. Nobody's going to catch him in RBI or home run, obviously, but he's only 2 points behind for the Triple Crown right now. That'll play a factor as well.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to say, too. Like, he is a lot more than just power.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, lately he's had to be because... all these bitch-ass teams won't stop walking him.
Right.
Let's see. In the last one, two, three. In the last two series, seven games between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, seven, eight, nine. He's walked 12 times in seven games. Mostly because they're bitches and they're afraid to throw to him,
yeah.
In my opinion.
But, I mean, you know, career 394 OBP, career 284 batting average. Like, the guy... does more than hit for power. Now, granted, he also has a .584 slugging percentage for his career. So,
But he's also playing center field, which is a premium position. He's going to be 31 about a month into next season. So I assume they're going to give him a 10-year contract with two option years. That's probably what it'll be.
Yeah.
And you got to think it's going to be somewhere around 350 to 400 mil. Right?
Yeah. At
least, like, that's that 35 to 40 mil a year.
Man, for he a guy is like this. 11 wins above replacement, beating Nolan Arenado by four whole fucking wins above replacement. Yep. Where is Shohei Ohtani, the only other dude who even has an argument?
Yeah, I heard some people talking about it the other day, about Ohtani. It's like, if he wins again this year... even after what Judge does, you just give it to him every year until he's out of the league, right?
Basically.
If you're going to give him the nod over somebody performing in one of the individual positions because he does both, then he's always going to do that.
Right.
Like, that'll be every year. So this year he's 15-8 with a 2.35 ERA and 213 strikeouts with a 1.03 whip. That's one half, and then the other half is that he's batting .275 with 34 home run and 94 RBI.
Which is insane.
Yeah, nobody is anywhere close to as impactful as this dude is.
So Shohei Ohtani has 3.9 FWAR and 5.4, or I'm sorry, 3.9 WAR, WAR from hitting and 5.4 WAR from pitching. So he is at basically...
9.3.
Yeah, 9.3. Judge is at 11. You know, I don't know. It really is more giving. You would be giving him credit essentially for being really good at two things.
Yeah, that's fine. But you know, Judge is also doing it in the middle of a fucking pennant race,
right?
And they're 9-1 over the last 10 games.
Yeah.
I think you got to fucking give him the nod.
I tweeted last night that Shohei Ohtani is the MVP, but the more I was pretty drunk. I kind of think Judge. Like, looking, I didn't realize Judge had 11 wins above replacement, which is absolutely obscene.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I kind of figured he was sitting in the 9 range as well. So yeah, that's if by the way, if Judge was also sitting in the nine range, I would say give it to Ohtani. I don't care, but 11, a double digit like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you say and the historic stuff he's doing, but to be quite frank, Shohei Ohtani is doing even rarer historic things than Aaron Judge is.
Technically, there's three people who've hit 60 and only two have done this.
Yeah.
So yes, technically more rare. Or
rarer.
Yeah, either way, it'll be fun to watch. See how the season closes out. I'm definitely looking forward to this game tonight.
It's going to be a blast to watch. I'm pretty serene about it because we're in the playoffs. And like I said last year on this show, just punch your fucking ticket.
Yep.
Just punch your ticket. And
especially in baseball.
Yeah, and let the dice fall where they may. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Yep.
Sweet.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.